somebody needs to shoot that guy. I'm just kidding with you. Hey, before we get going this morning, I do want to thank the men who are in the nursery. It is their one day a year that they go in there for combat gear and ready to help. I think it's helpful for men to go in there. It reminds them of the wonderful job that ladies do each week. They have paid me $100 to keep it short and get out of here on time. So we will see what happens there. If you weren't in the first service, some of you don't know, we have a 9:30 service. It's a contemporary service. We had five families today with children dedicated to the Lord. Julie and Shane Logan, that's one family, their daughter Riley. You had Lori Blackmer with her son Jaden. Jeremy and Krista Lee Walker with their daughter Julianne. Troy and Diana with their son Cole. And then Allison and myself with Nathan. So some of you in Don's class were able to see that. If not, there may be video of it. But just be praying for them as they made that commitment today. Let me just remind you, some of you don't come from Baptist backgrounds. Baby dedication is not salvation. I have no salvific powers in and of myself. Our salvation is based in Christ. It's rooted in Christ. Baby dedication in our theological worldview is families are saying, look, we recognize our responsibility as parents to train, to raise, to invest the gospel in our children, pointing them towards Christ. And so as a church, we come together and pray and encourage, undergird those families as they walk with their children, pointing them to Christ who ultimately saves. I do want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. This morning, my mother is here. I just want you to know how much my mother loves me. Her love for me is unconditional. I mean, look, she is sitting through a second message. I think she was just here for the bells, and she wants a way to get out of here, but she can't. So I'm thankful to have her and my dad up from Titusville. Let me just say this as we get going this morning. Mother's Day messages are very challenging for me and for many pastors as well. Some of you may remember 5 years ago, on Mother's Day, you had some boy from Kentucky come and stand in this pulpit on Mother's Day. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what y'all were thinking having me here on Mother's Day, but I told you on that day I'm not preaching a Mother's Day message, because if I did, you would never have called me. And so I did 1 Peter on that day about the hope that we have in eternal life. And then it was amazing. You still voted for me to come. And so we came here, and our first Sunday as your pastor was on Father's Day. Another day that is a very hard day to do messages. Mother's Day, Father's Day, and 4th of July. The three hard days for pastors, for me, to do messages. One, because there's a lot of expectations that are brought into this room on those days. Ultimately, we gather together to exalt the living Christ. But on those days, these days, there seems to be this desire for us to focus on mothers, on fathers, on our nation. And so it's always just this hard dynamic, because some of you, I love her. I've heard her say, our pastor didn't even preach a Mother's Day sermon today, or something like that. She tells me, so it's always in the back of my mind, what you're telling your families I did. And so I recognize that there is a challenge. But sometimes we don't think about it on the other dynamic of that, and that's this. There are mothers in this room, or there's ladies in this room, where Mother's Day does not bring them joy. I mean, just think about it. There are some ladies in this room who long to have children and never have. Some have gone to fertility clinics. Some have been on their knees praying and interceding and begging the Lord to open their wombs, and they have yet to have any joy come through pregnancy. And we see all throughout the Old Testament women who struggled with infertility and the heartache that it brought them. Mother's Day brings no joy to women like that. There's mothers in this room, women in this room, who have lost mothers this year. This is the first year that they are without a mother, and it is overwhelming. One of the somebody shared with me in the donut time, they went to a service at a church the first year that their mother had died, and they played some song. It was real sappy and, you know, mom in heaven teaching the angels. And she said, I just wept the whole time and I couldn't focus. Because all I could think about was my mother, and it was very hard and painful. And she said, and I never went back to that church. It's hard picking songs. Some in this room have lost children through death. Some in this room are estranged from their children. I know some of you have come up to me on Mother's Day and have prayed with me, asking that the Lord would bring reconciliation between children. It's a hard day as a pastor. When you look at the Bible, it is full of examples of the difficulty that motherhood brings. Yes, there's joys and there's excitements, but there's also many days, many events, many trials that mothers go through that are very difficult. Let me just give you a pop quiz. I'm a professor sometimes, right? Pop quiz time. First example, first time mother is used in the Bible. Any thoughts? If you've been in the first service, you cannot answer. Genesis chapter 2. And for this reason, a son will leave his father and mother. The first example of motherhood brings what? The idea that your son is leaving you to go get united with another woman. In that, even in marriage, there's what? There's joy, but from the mother, there's also what? Sorrow. Their son, their daughter, is leaving their family and joining in with another family, right? So you think, all throughout Scripture, this idea of motherhood is full of joys and of heartaches. Think about Sarah. She was old, unable to have children. And it wasn't until the Lord dramatically worked in her life at the age of 90 plus that she was able to get pregnant and have a child, right? 90 years of no children. Rebecca, she has to be involved with a lie with Jacob in order to steal the birthright from Esau. Remember that story? The extreme measure that mother went through to make sure that her son received the blessing. Rachel, not able to have kids, had to give her husband to the concubines until the Lord finally opened up her womb. Think about Moses' mother. You have to kill your son when he comes out of the womb. And she defies that, and she kept him hid as long as she could. And then she had to build a little boat, ultimately a little ark, and puts him in the water, the lesser of two evils, trusting in the sovereignty and divine goodness of God, and by His miraculous ways allows her ultimately to get him back for a period of time. What about Hannah, unable to have children, crying her heart out into the temple? The Lord finally opened her womb. What about Naomi? Naomi loses both of her sons. I went out one way and I'm coming back bitter because I've lost everything. What about Job's wife? We often think about Job, but didn't she lose all of her sons and daughters on that day too? Was not the homes that they lived in crushed? We look at Job because of his life, but on that day, that mother's life forever changed. What about Bathsheba? Because of the sin of her and David, the child that she gave birth to died. And then her other son, Solomon, who she later has with David, when it's time for David to go to be with his father, the Lord, Solomon's about to get bypassed to be the king. And so Bathsheba has to work and encourage Solomon to step up and has to go in and talk to David, all the dynamics of that family. What about Mary? And everything that she experienced with her son, Jesus. And even from the very beginning, they said, this son ultimately will be to you a sword in your heart. Throughout the Bible, motherhood is hard, full of pain and joy, heartache and happiness. And let me just say, last couple of years, if you've been here on Mother's Day, you know that I've preached some pretty hard messages on Mother's Day. By hard, I mean things that weren't as lovey-dovey maybe as we wanted. A couple years ago, right? Mamas, don't let your daughters grow up to be superficial. Remember that message? I sang a little Willie Nelson when the message began, and you guys wanted my autograph. And but the whole point there was, Peter says, a woman's beauty should not be on the outward, but should be from inside. And living here in South Florida, that's a great challenge, isn't it? All around us, women find their value and their worth on their outer appearance. I mean, just go to the mall, and you see it. And for believing mothers, the challenge to invest in their daughters, say, look, your body is the temple of the living God, not a treasure or a toy for another man. Last year, we looked at 2 Kings chapter 4. Remember that message? A woman, she's not able to have a child. The prophet comes to her and says, you're going to have a child. She says, don't fool with me. She gets pregnant. That child grows up. He goes out in the field one day and he gets a head wound and he dies. How's that for a Mother's Day sermon, right? Remember last year? Some of you tried to put it out of your mind. Elijah had promised her this son. And ultimately Elijah does, by the power of God, he's able to heal this or raise this dead child. So my goal for today is to give a message, to share a word that is encouraging. I asked Allison, hey, what can I do today that would connect? She says, preach a happy message and keep it short. Okay? Y'all love my wife, right? So my goal today is to honor those of you who are moms, to take that balanced picture of pleasure and heartache and to say thank you. Thank you for giving birth, right? So many of you carry children for 9 months, some almost 10, some maybe shorter, but gave birth, something us as guys, thank the Lord, will never experience. You've changed numerous diapers. I have thought to myself, when Nate is done with diapers, we'll have been in diapers for a decade. I told the first service, I think I've changed 5 of Nate's diapers so far. It's good to have a stay-at-home mom and be at work. I love my wife. You bandaged scrapes, boo-boos, both real and imaginary. I don't know how many times I've come in and seen the boys with a bandage on their arm, their knee, somewhere, and I'm like, what happened? And she says, nothing, they just wanted a bandage. Right, mothers? You know what that's about. Because it's a cool bandage. You want whatever the character is on there. You fed us, you've clothed us, you've bathed us, even when we didn't want baths. You're the ones who dropped us off at school. You're the ones who picked us up at school. You're the ones who went on field trips with us. You were there when we finally graduated and on your knees, thankful that we made it to the end. Or some of you are still hoping that they make it and they graduate. You, for some, were there when we were married and you had that joy in your heart for us, but you also had sorrow in your own heart. Yes, mothers that are here today, we want to honor you and all that you do and all that who you are. You deserve honor and our praise. Do you know how Mother's Day began? Most holidays in our nation developed at some point in our history, obviously, and this one is about 100 years old, and it stems out of the Civil War. There was a mother who, after the Civil War, wanted to get mothers together as a time of healing. I mean, we can't even begin to imagine the loss that our nation experienced during the Civil War. Thousands of young men dead. Mothers now suddenly childless. And this woman wanted to get mothers together to kind of be a healing process. And this woman died. And so Anna Jarvis, wanting to honor her mother and her mother's vision of having this Mother Friendship Day, in 1905 established a day in West Virginia to honor her mother. And other women got together in that community and they also celebrated their mother, giving thanks for who their mother was. A year later, West Virginia was the first state in the Union. Where are you, West Virginia people, right? First state in the Union to acknowledge Mother's Day as a national, as a holiday. So West Virginia led the way in celebrating motherhood. Then in 1914, Woodrow Wilson, president at the time, officially proclaimed Mother's Day as a national holiday, a time to acknowledge, to celebrate the gift of motherhood and what mothers mean in our lives, the second Sunday of every May. Now, like Don's story last week with It Is Well With My Soul, if we stop there, it's kind of encouraging. But the interesting thing is, this woman who was involved, this Anna Jarvis, later on petitioned to have Mother's Day done away with. You know why? She was concerned that Mother's Day had grown to be too commercial. Anybody know that feeling? Right? It's what always happens. Good intentions, good desires, and before you know it, Publix has a million cards and they want you to buy them and they're all $7.99. Have you bought a card lately? So she petitioned to do away with it because Mother's Day had lost its value. It had lost its significance. It's kind of like Christmas. It has gone away from its roots and what it means. Her whole desire was that the day should be a day of sentiment, not profit. She wanted to honor mothers, which is today why we're here, isn't it? In a sense, we want to honor mothers, take time to give thanks to them. You know that at least nine times in the Bible, we are commanded, honor your mother. Show reverence to your mother. That's a command. It's an imperative. It's not, hey, if you think this is a good idea, do this. We live in that day in society where people say, it doesn't really matter, you can do what you want, whatever makes you feel right. That's not what the Lord says. He says, this is a command. Honor them. So, if we're going to honor our parents, it's important for us to understand the meaning of the word, to honor. And it carries with it this idea of to ascribe worth, to see of having value, dignity. So what we're being told to do is to give, to see, to have a high esteem for our mothers, to value them, to show them dignity. It's sad, right? We live in a society, a nation, where that is just dwindling away, isn't it? The whole, we talked about it last week, respect, honor, is just kind of eroding in our nation. Those of you who've been overseas in Japan and other places in the East, you recognize how honor is real, how parents and mothers are honored by families. Entire generations are looked up upon. How many kids look at their grandparents now and honor them versus looking at their grandparents and thinking, what? They're a nuisance, they're in my way, they take away from me, right? I don't care to be with them. More and more kids think that way. It's a shame. It's unbiblical. Called to honor our parents, our mother. The good news is there's promise and blessing if we do honor our mother. In Ephesians chapter 6, piggybacking off of other passages, it says this, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You see the promise there? It's this. If you honor your mother, God says, I'm going to work in your life to bless you, to take care of you, to ensure that you're able to be sustained where you are. Now, that doesn't mean everybody who honors their mother lives to be 107 years old. But generally, the Lord's word there, what He's going at is, if you honor your parents, you honor your mother, you do what's right, blessings and life come. If you don't honor your mother, you might end up dead, in jail, or both. And He's clear on that. He says if we dishonor our mothers, it often leads to painful life experiences. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16. Cursed is anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. So the question then for us this morning is, how then do we honor our mothers? Again, recognizing that there are wide ranges of individuals in this room. Some of you are teenagers. Some of you are college. Some of you are middle-aged. Some of you are older. Some of you don't have a mother any longer. Right? So what do we do? Let me say this. I got six of them. I'm just going to work through them quickly. One way that we show honor is we show respect to our moms. For those of you who are on high school, maybe in college, you know what that means? That means honoring them by obeying, by submitting, by following, by loving and affirming them. It does not mean get on Facebook and slam them, talk about them behind their back, make fun of them in front of your other friends, roll your eyes at them when they tell you to do something, ignore them, slam your door when you go into a room and act as if they're not an authority in your life. It's not respect. For others of you, though, this is your challenge. What do you do when your mother gets older? And she starts to become a little loco. She's not all there, and I mean that very nicely, but you know what I mean. She starts to be different than she used to be. What do you do when you come over to her house and there's four boxes of QVC stuff sitting in the living room, and she doesn't have any money? What do you do when they go to the grocery store and they buy groceries and their cabinets are already full of those beans or greens or whatever else they bought? Right? I mean, how do you treat your mother at that point? See, the temptation for us as we get older is to do what? To kind of get snide with them, to think we're the smart ones, they're the foolish ones, we know, they don't, and we rob them of respect in those moments. Look, it's hard. I know you're looking to laugh at me, right? But it's hard to grow old, isn't it? I mean, we hear that all the time. It's hard to get to grow old and to grow old gracefully. And look, you're going to be there one day as well. And I would just challenge you with this. As you're facing your mom and you're facing these issues that they're working through and they're struggling with, just remember that they showed honor and dignity to you when you were stepping out, when you were trying, when you were doing things, when you were making a fool of yourself, right? They didn't make fun of you. They didn't post it on Facebook. They didn't laugh at you, right? They loved you. They lifted you up. They encouraged you. They were there for you. So let me just challenge you, sons, daughters, as your parents and your mothers get older and require more attention, more time, not to see that as a burden, but to see it as an opportunity to show respect that's due. A second way we honor our mothers is to listen to their words. Look over at Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs chapter 6. Those of you who are here, usually you know we pick a passage and we usually work through it. This morning we're just kind of taking out some different themes. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. So listen to their words, right? Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and a teaching, a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Just think about some of the things that your mother taught you. I mean, there's some basic things, right? I mean, she's probably the one that taught you how to tie your shoes. She taught you how to eat, right? Guys, we're not real patient with that, right? I mean, you didn't sit around and like do the little airplane. You're not the one that tried to get them to tie their shoes over and over and over again. That usually comes from mothers. Look, mothers teach children how to dress, right? Because if fathers do that, none of us would match, right? But there's things that mothers teach that are of greater importance in our life. things like this, the importance and the value of telling truth, the importance of being a person of integrity, of being polite, of being respectful. Do you remember back when your mom would say to you, you know, yes ma'am, no ma'am, thank you ma'am? That's instilling in you respect and honor for others. She's training you. She's teaching you. For some of you, it means listening to their words when they tell you who you should date or who you should not date. Some of you students, I want you to hear this. You need to take very seriously the words of wisdom from your parents when they talk to you about who to date. I know in some of your minds you'll think, they don't know, they're old school, they're outdated. I'm telling you what, they know a lot more about it than you think. And they're a lot more wise than you think, and they're a lot more wise, or they're wiser than you. And let me say this to some of you parents. You need to step in and you need to tell your daughters, you can't date that boy. Because guess what's going to happen? If you don't step in, they're probably going to stay with that punk, right? And that's what he is. And then he's going to end up being your son-in-law. And then you're really going to be depressed. Because he's always there. And he's your grandbaby's daddy. Look, seriously. Mothers, if those guys that come over to your house and they want to date your daughters and they don't love the Lord, you need to tell them to hit the road. If your daughter's dating a guy and they don't love the Lord, you need to tell them to get out of here. They don't need to be dating those guys. Look, you can't just sit around and just think, well, they'll just make up their mind. They're what? No, no, they won't. You got sons that are dating daughters, and those daughters, they look like they should be on magazine covers, or they came out of like Abercrombie and Fitch. You need to tell them to hit the road. And you say, well, that's being judgmental. Let me just tell you what, your son's not going to be thinking about who she is. He's just going to be looking at how she looks. Look, you're older. You need to think through this. You need to be the wise one that tells your kids, here's what we're looking for. Beauty is outward, but the Lord looks at the heart. You need to be seeking after somebody who loves the Lord and whose heart is seeking the Lord. And when your kids come home and they say, you know what, I'm dating this guy or I want to spend my life with this person, and you know they don't love the Lord, you need to say, that's not a good deal. Because I can tell you, there are families in here who can give testimony that they didn't speak up, they got married, and then what happened? Children, divorce, difficulties, not in church, lost years, right? And if they could go back, they would say, let's not go down this road. So, like we said a couple of weeks ago, nip it in the bud. And children, I'm just going to tell you, when your mothers tell you not to date somebody, you need to listen. Let me just give you an example. Allison's mom, when Allison was in high school, looked at her and her boyfriend that was sitting at the table, and she said to him, my daughter's not going to date you anymore. Can you imagine what that boy thought? He started crying because Allison was a steal, a catch. He started crying. But Allison's mom knew that there was something better for her than that little punk boy that was in her house. And I mean, look, all right? Amen. But you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, don't let your kids get involved with those people. So kids, when your moms tell you something, listen to their words. They have wisdom. God has put you in your life, to be wisdom speakers. Honor that. And in 10 years, when you look back, you'll be thankful that you took that. Another way that we honor our parents is by following in the footsteps of their faith. One of the things that is a sad tragedy as a man and being a pastor in a church is to see how often families, the glue that holds them together in any way in a congregation is the mother. So many dads not involved with Christ, not worried about spiritual things. And as 1 Corinthians 7 talks about, that family is held together and has an anointing of the Lord because that mother is a God-fearer. We see it with Timothy, right? I mean, it says, Timothy, your grandmother and your mother, their faith is instrumental in your life. So let me tell you, admonish, look up, honor your mother and listen into her faith, especially if she loves the Lord. If your mother is a God-fearer, man, be mentored by her. Look, we've got great Sunday school teachers. We've got great leaders in The Rock. We've got great leaders in youth group. But students, the most important woman in your life should be your mother. That's the one you should be following after. And mothers, let me just challenge you with this. You need to raise your faith up. If you're not a believer in the Lord, you need to recognize that your daughter is watching you. Your son is watching you. We come alongside. We're here to help you in doing ministry and training your children. But for many of you, your children are watching your faith. Another way we honor our parents is by showing affection and gratitude to them. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says this, "There are those